Welcome to episode 5 of Brainstorm Bookcast. I'm Abby, this is Georgie.
Hello.
And today we are joined by two guest hosts, Raimi and Lily.
Hi.
Okay, so we're just going to do a quick introduction of ourselves, like basically saying our likes and dislikes of book genres and music. Okay, so I'm Abby, I'm a massive fan of fantasy books and I love Glee and Starkid.
Hey, I'm Georgie, I like a bit of everything teen because I just like everything. And I like pop and indie music.
Okay.
Okay, Raimi?
I am Raimi. I like pretty much everything book related. My favourite genres are probably contemporary and fantasy, mainly. And music-wise, I'm into a bit of everything, but rock, indie, emo, metal, mainly.
Hi, I'm Lily. I read everything book-wise, but my favourite genre is probably dark fantasy. Music I listen to a lot of Japanese rock music and British rock music, so, yeah.
Okay, introductions out of the way now. So we're going to start with darker themes in YA books, such as substance abuse and sex scenes and all that sort of thing. And should there be warnings on the books?
I think it depends how it's, like, shown and portrayed. If it's shown as a good thing, then you definitely need warnings on there. Or if it's, like, if it has really sensitive scenes, especially the sex scenes, if it's, like, a rape scene, I do think that needs a warning of some sort. But if it's trying to show the consequences of, like, substance abuse and everything, I'm not sure if it really needs one.
Do either of you have an opinion on this?
I'd say, I mean, there is a lot of sex in YA at the moment. Especially in the dark fantasy books, apparently. And I think sometimes it does go a bit far. And a warning, I mean, they've got the Not for Younger Readers warning, but that's very small and on the back.
Yeah.
Really easy to miss.
And it never specifies how young is too young to start to read it.
Yeah. As far as substance abuse goes, I think it should definitely have a warning, even if it's like the effects, because a, you know, younger teenager might read it and think they're ready and then be completely traumatised by it.
Yeah, it could influence, like, young teens and that.
I'm kind of not into the not suitable for younger readers warning, to be honest. I think quite a lot of books that have it, I've read and don't seem to think that they should have it. But I read a book recently that didn't have it, and I actually really did think it should have. That was Scars by Cheryl Rainfield. Has anyone read it?
No,
we haven't.
It's basically about a girl who she's recently remembered that she was sexually abused as a child.
Yeah,
and she starts, like, cutting herself, but it turns out that she cuts herself because the person who sexually abused her told her that if she tells anyone, then that's what she should do. She should punish herself for telling anyone.
I think a book like that would definitely need a warning.
Yeah, definitely needs that warning, and it didn't actually have it anywhere. It's, I think it's only available in the UK as an e-book.
Right.
But still, it didn't actually have anything on the Amazon webpage or anything like that.
No.
So, not suitable for younger readers.
Well, yeah, because I recently got a book called When It Happens by Susan Consanti.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet, but I bought it, and I noticed it had an explicit content sticker. Either of you read it?
No, I haven't, but I didn't think... I think I've read the blurb, and I didn't think that it had anything like that in it, so... I know, Zella says OMG, Beth Harris Staten, has that not suitable for younger readers, but sticker on it. And that, it really isn't anything. The main character talks about female masturbation, and she loses her virginity, and that's it. And it's not even done in an explicit way.
No, I don't think a book like that we need a warning, personally. Yeah,
it's like Adorkable by Sarah Manning. Have any of you read that?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't read it.
I love that book. Yeah. And I'm not sure whether it did have a warning on it, but...
I don't think it does.
It did have a sex scene in it, but I don't think it was really...
It was done in a really good way.
Yeah.
It's done in a kind of... I think the main character in one point says, if you can't talk about it, then you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really good message to put out there.
Yeah. Also, it doesn't portray it as something very glamorous. Like, no. A lot of films but and TV.
Is sex really that bad?
No.
I don't think so.
Young, impressionable teenagers' heads that sex is a bad thing. Because I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either.
And a lot of people are ashamed about it, and they don't want to talk about it.
I think
we shouldn't be giving that message out there. We shouldn't be saying that because...
It's a natural thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and we want to do it right rather than be ashamed of it.
I think it's just more about not saying these things to really young kids. Because if you go to some of the junior schools in our area, you hear kids talking about all this, and you're thinking, how do they know this?
Mm.
And
yeah.
It's just about not...
The most of where they know it from isn't actually books. It's more TV and stuff like that.
Just when I was young, I found out a lot in the playground.
Yeah.
I think younger teens are a bit more impressionable. When you get to, like, our age, you know... that things in books and TV aren't necessarily what the life is like.
Yeah.
I think when I first started reading, well, this is going to fan fiction, but the site I have always have a warning. And I think when I first joined, I was like 12, 13, I wouldn't go near any of the fics that had any sort of warning on there. But now I'm not as bothered by any of them, apart from like the really explicit ones. But even then, you don't find any of them, really. I think if it's really explicit, you do need something. But other than that, I don't think it's necessary.
I think having a small warning could be okay, saying that like kids under 10 shouldn't read this.
Yeah, I think it's HarperCollins. On the back where the barcode is, sometimes they have like a plus 13 and stuff.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I've seen that before.
I think... Yeah. Books need to, instead of saying not suitable for young readers, they need to say a specific age.
Then you get the problem with, like, different people having different maturity levels and...
Yeah.
...levels and stuff. So if a book's got, like, 13 on it, and you're 11, but your reading level's way above that normal 11-year-old...
Yeah.
...then you're going to struggle actually getting anything that they can read.
Yeah, maybe it's... I know parents don't normally pay much attention to what their children are reading, but maybe it's up to the parents. Maybe they should see, or at least read a little bit, or see why it's got the age that it has, and then they make the decision.
I just think that the age band is more about content than it is about reading the book itself.
Yeah.
Because it should only have the warnings on if it has something which younger kids shouldn't see.
Yeah, if it's really explicit, then I kind of agree with the age thing.
Yeah.
But if it's... I think it does depend on the way it's done as well. Like, you say, Adorkable's done in a really good way. And you can read it in different ways as well.
Yeah. Whereas if you've got a book like The Game of Thrones, you have got some really explicit stuff in there.
Yeah.
But, and that should definitely... I know it's an adult book, but the TV series, because it's not on ridiculously late, so you've got more 14, 15-year-olds starting to watch it as well, which is, I'm one of those people.
15, my personal opinion, is a time when it's okay to start reading a bit more about sex.
Yeah, so...
I mean, they say that 18 is the age when sex is, but to be honest, some people do it when they're 15, 16.
Yeah.
Some people do it even earlier, so...
Yeah.
I mean, I know my stepson's 12, and I'm fairly sure that some of the people in his class probably started doing stuff.
Yeah.
And it's wrong thinking, but it is out there, it is happening.
has explicit sex, it's an 18. But then the legal age in this country that you're, you know, a consenting adult is 16. So if you're old enough to do it, surely you should be old enough to watch it or
whatever. Yeah. I agree with that, definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Should we move on?
Yeah.
Okay, so we want to discuss about whether we should read hardbacks and paperbacks, or ebooks or audiobooks.
Yeah, so if you listen to an audiobook, does that hinder or help your experience? Like, do you get a specific voice for the character already and you haven't got room to
imagine,
create your own?
Yeah.
To be honest, with audiobooks myself, I tend to zone out, so I tend to listen to them.
Yeah, that's my problem as well. I don't actually think I've ever tried to listen to an audiobook because I know when I'm listening to music and doing other stuff, I zone out with the music, so I think I wouldn't be able to read what like listen to an audiobook all the way through, to be honest.
Well, I listen to Last of the High Kings, which is set in Ireland. I'm not sure who wrote it, I can't really remember, but I remember that the narrator was an Irish actress, and so she had a really nice Southern Irish accent, and it really helped the book for me. I think sometimes listening to audiobooks, because I don't zone out with music, that's why I can never listen to music whilst I do work. I'm one of those people who has to just be completely focused on work, because if I'm listening to music which has lyrics, then I listen to the lyrics. Yeah, I find that sometimes, like, me and Abby have both listened to the Harry Potter audiobooks with Stephen Fry. And, well, we both listened to them as kids, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they always used to help me just carry on thinking about the Harry Potter world even when I wasn't reading it. Because we would listen to Harry Potter on long car journeys.
I think that's definitely a good idea for audiobooks. Long car journeys are the perfect place for audiobooks, I think.
Yeah, because I can't read while I'm in the car. It makes me feel sick, so...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm driver, so it really helped me. Because obviously I can't read.
No. But, yeah, because you can now get all the e-books and everything, especially the Harry Potter ones, they're easier to get now because you can get them off Pottermore. And then... I like e-books. I think they're all right.
I like them, but I'd still prefer... I always go to my bookshelf.
Yeah.
Textbook. Even though my Kindle is there, I always go to the main thing I use my Kindle for, I took it on holiday and it was great.
Yeah.
And when I go down to London for me is either a 6-hour coach journey or a 4.5-hour train journey.
Yeah.
Wow. So I take my Kindle then, because at least I know if I finish the book I'm reading, I've got a variety of others.
Yeah, because I don't have a Kindle, so I just, like, fill a bag with a load of different books, because I never quite know what mood I'm going to be in as to what I want to read.
Yeah.
When I go on holiday, I have to take books with me, because I don't own a Kindle either. I have Kindle for a PC.
So, yeah.
But I haven't really used it yet, because I find reading a book much more enjoyable than reading off a screen. Because my eyes, like, if I'm on the laptop editing for ages, I'll have to eventually have a break because my head will start hurting.
Whereas I can sit reading something off my phone for, like, hours and it doesn't affect me, so...
And Abby's phone screen is tiny.
But I prefer reading it off my phone than I do reading it off my big laptop screen because I just lose wherever I am. I just get really confused.
Yeah, I think the phone, like, Kindle app, I've got an iPhone Kindle app for it, it's brilliant, and it makes it easy to walk and read at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing my paper rounds, like, in the morning, I'll be there, just reading the book as I'm walking. It makes me go really slowly, but it still works.
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't tend to walk when I... read and walk at the same time, because I tend to look really odd. I'm just carrying a book and walking. And I'm likely to bump into people and all that sort of thing.
I've nearly stumbled out onto a road, so it's not a good idea, really.
We shouldn't really be condoning this.
No.
But
It just happens, I just get so into a book and I literally cannot put it down. And I'll just take it with me everywhere.
I went around the house, but not on roads and...
I've actually sat in class, at the back of the class, with my phone out, just reading it.
Yeah, you do that.
Or it was in history and I sat at the back, so I'm like in the corner, just reading my thing. Do you like reading e-books or...?
I don't have an e-reader.
I don't either, I just use my phone.
Getting
one, like, going on holiday and stuff. Yeah. So that would make it easier. But I do have a bit of an issue with e-books, because they're sort of competing against regular books. Yeah, I don't like that side of it, because I do love the traditional, like, paperback or hardback.
Yeah, I don't... The only e-books that I own are free ones. Yeah. Like, I downloaded M.G. Harris's The Descendants, because I saw it was free on Amazon Kindle.
Yeah.
So I downloaded it quickly.
I think the best thing that they could do is, like, have a code in the back of a book that you buy, and then
yeah.
E-book.
That'd be good, because...
Yeah, they have both.
Because that would encourage people to buy books as well.
Yeah. But for one thing about e-books, where do you get them signed?
Yeah.
You can actually get them signed.
How can you get them signed? That doesn't make sense.
There's an online service for authors, and they can, like, sign their e-books for you. I'm not sure what the service is called, but I know Kara Staten's done it recently, when she signed one of her books.
Wow, that's actually quite cool.
Yeah, with her proper signature and everything. She's got an iPad and she used that to draw her signature in.
Oh, wow.
It's still not, like, whenever you go to a signing and you get an actual copy of a book signed, yeah. You have the actual pen signature. Like, you have something, like, the author has touched your book and signed it with a pen. Which I think is more, I'd rather have a signed paperback than I would a signed ebook.
Yeah.
People treasure paperbacks that are signed. Like, I've got a signed Hollow Pike.
I have a signed copy of Unrest that I need to get around to reading.
I have so many signed books. I keep having to remember which one's signed.
I don't have many, because I generally have... I don't go to many book signings.
No, I don't.
Our area doesn't have many.
No. Mine's from when I've been going down to London. Mainly, because my area doesn't have any either.
Yeah.
I was really lucky to get Lauren Kate. She did an event last week here.
Oh, okay.
Really rare occasion. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we have a really good children's book centre where authors visit, but generally the authors just visit for, like primary schools.
Yeah. So by the time you're in high school, you kind of don't get invited to go.
Yeah, and also...
That's on in a couple of months, and a lot of good authors go there.
Yeah.
I met Mark Sedgwick, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I'm desperate to get my Harry Potter book signed.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen. But I just see all the videos of people at, like, premieres and everything who have their books, and JK just, like, goes around and signs them. I'm just, like, so jealous of all of you.
I think you'd have to stalk JK.
Yeah. It's like...
Yeah, well, I only have a few books signed because I've had to go to, like, the middle of our county and just go get it signed.
Or we just get Miss Connor to get them for us.
Yeah, that's my main source at the moment of books, Miss Connor. Yeah, our history teacher. She just gets stuff signed. Like, she gives us, like, proof copies and stuff.
Yeah. So nice. It's so cool just having, like, the proof copy when the actual book hasn't even come out yet.
Ooh. I got two through this week that aren't out until October.
Yeah. Miss Connor got Raven Boys on Saturday. You just got Georgina next to me, like, oh, what?
And she tweeted to me, going, look what I got, evil laugh. And I was just like, no! But I was really happy because Miss Connor got me a signed bookmark and a postcard with, like, a message on from Maggie Stiefvater. I was so happy.
Yeah, she's rather obsessed with it. She's framed it and everything.
I'm not even joking. I wasn't clear.
I haven't read any of her books yet.
I think I started reading Shiver and I got really bored halfway through and I gave up.
Well, I don't like the Walls of Mercy Falls series, but I do love the Lament and Ballad series, which is...
I think the fairy books are better.
Yeah, the fairy books. And also Scorpio Races, I love.
Scorpio Races is amazing.
Yeah.
I may have to give those ones a read.
Scorpio Races, and I've got Shiver. But I don't really like fairies that much. So...
I don't like fairies. Fairies are amazing.
I'm not keen on them.
I think...
What books have you read? Well, I read Ash. Ash is quite good.
I love Ash.
But I tried to read the second one, Huntress. Is it Huntress?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I couldn't read that one.
That's the prequel, though, and it's, like, set really far, like, before. Yeah. I haven't started it yet.
Yeah. I wasn't keen on that one. And then I've read... Oh, I can't even remember now.
Read Our Fate, you need to get it. Amazing.
Oh, yeah, I keep meaning to read that one because I read her the vampire one, The Immortal Rules.
I love The Immortal Rules so much.
That one's really good.
Favourite. I'm a complete Julie Gower fangirl. I just. Seriously, I fangirl her on Twitter all the time. Actually.
Well, I've just got the postcard that Miss got me. And it's got written, I hear that you guys are weird book crazy teens like I was, which makes you awesome in my opinion. Anyway, have some bookmarks. Keep reading and follow your dreams, Maggie.
Aww.
I know. I was just like squealing for a whole afternoon.
Yeah, she was.
I went into the signing and I took all my books and I put them down and I said, I have all six, is that alright? And she looked at me and she said, have I written six?
That's quite cool.
Yes, you have. But yeah, she was lovely, and I got to talk to her again afterwards because I hung around with the publicist.
Yeah.
Oh, I want
a friend. I'm Sophie Waters, who's finished Tag Books.
Yeah.
And so she's in with all the publicist people. So I got to talk to her again afterwards.
I want to go to a book signing so bad.
I know.
Yeah.
I've never been to one.
I went to a Michael Grant event, you know, the Gone books.
Oh, yeah.
And I also went to ages ago, a Paul Stewart and Chris Riddle signing, which is the Edge Chronicles.
Yeah.
The fantasy ones. They're more kids' books than teen books, but I got a few of those signed. Because I was really into them when I was about 10. But, yeah, I haven't been to many actual teen book signings.
They're amazing, seriously.
Yeah.
So the best one I think I went to was last week, the Queen of Teen signing.
Oh, I really want to go to Queen of Teen.
I really want to go. I was just tweeting.
I'm not going to lie.
I want to go to the 2014 one.
Yeah.
We want
to go to that one.
We'll have left school by then, so we'll be fine. Oh. We'll just like, on start the elite. Let's go.
We were working out how long it's going to be till Catching Fire, the next Hunger Games film's coming out. And we worked out that Izzy, who's the other person on our blog, she's going to be in sixth form, and so she won't be at school with us.
So we like just sat there getting so depressed, like, damn, so far away. Everything's going to have changed.
And we were working out how long it's going to be until everything's released.
I'm 17 when part 2 of Mockingjay comes out.
Yeah, we're going to be nearly adults by the time Mockingjay's all released.
I don't
want
to think about how old I'm
going. Yeah, so far away.
So strange. Okay, we've gone completely off topic, as we normally do.
Yeah.
What should we talk about now? Our comfort books and our beach reads. What do we sort of like read when we're tired or we're ill?
I don't really do that anymore. I used to when I was younger.
Yeah, that's like me. I used to when I was younger, but not anymore.
I still do it. I still go to my bookshelf and pick up like one of the Harry Potter books and I just sit there reading it.
I think the only one I've still got is Harry Potter, to be honest.
Yeah.
I used to, whenever I was ill, I used to read Jackie and Russell.
Yeah. I
tend to just read the books that I'm reading at the moment when I'm ill now.
Well, yeah, I used to go back and, because my bookshelf, I can never get rid of books. So I used to go back and, like, read... Whenever I'm out of books, I just go back and reread one of my favourites.
Yeah.
How can you be out of books?
Well, I can't be at the moment. I used to be.
No, I'm not at the moment either.
Yeah, because I have, like, 20 books plus from Miss Connor to read.
I have so many that Miss Connor's given me. I've still got one of yours. I've got ones of yours that I want to read. It's just like, oh dear, I need to get
Abby reading. Managed to mutilate one of my books.
I didn't do it. My friends, that wasn't my choice.
They stole my copy of Cinder out of Abby's bag.
Oh no.
Yeah, we were not impressed.
That's an amazing book. They should have more respect.
I know. I finally finished that this morning. I was just like, yay, I finished. Actually finished the book.
I don't like it when they get damaged.
No, I don't.
I was so annoyed because, you know Wither by Lauren DiStefano?
Yeah.
I took it on this archaeology trip. We went on a 3-day trip to, like, I think it was some little town somewhere. And we were doing this trip and it rained all on the first day. And my book was so ruined. It all had, like, lumps underneath the cover.
Oh, I hate it.
It was really sad to see. I wanted to mend it, but then I didn't really have time.
I just get so depressed when books get ruined.
Yeah, yeah. Like, even when you're just reading them and you accidentally bend the cover a bit, and it's just like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I bend the covers of mine.
Yeah. I hate it when...
But they get all pushed up at the corner, or whatever.
Yeah.
Whenever I get a library book out and all the corners are folded, I just go... I go through and unfold all the corners.
Don't fold the edge of the the edge of the page down. Just buy a bookmark or memorise what page you're on. For God's sake, people.
I make little origami bookmarks.
Oh, that's so cool.
So I have tons and tons of bookmarks just because I can sit there. And, like, an average piece of origami paper I can make four bookmarks from, so...
Oh, wow.
Slip on the corner, they're really good.
Yeah.
I just use whatever's available for bookmarks, so, like, I'll lend books out and, like, my sister will bring them back and be like, oh, yeah, you have, like, a £2 off when you spend £20 or more in Sainsbury's vouchers, that book.
Yeah, I normally just, like, rip a little bit of paper off something that's near me and stick that in. Should we get on to our main discussion before we just run out of time completely?
Okay, main discussion. What do you call it? Classification in books. Okay, does anybody have any strong thoughts on this?
No, it's kind of like what I was saying before. I don't agree with classifications in books, to be honest.
No.
I think that the article that was out from about G.P. Taylor and what he was saying, he was saying that, like, he writes horror books. He used to write adventure stories. And now he writes horror books for children.
Yeah.
And he said that the stuff that he's writing was actually too scary. And that's why it should have classifications. And I was like, well, you're writing this stuff. And it's obviously selling. Because he is quite a big name now.
Yeah.
And he said that he started writing it because he was going to schools and this is what children were wanting. And I just thought, well, they can't be that scared by it if they are reading.
Well, we were saying that because when we were, like, in year 6, when we were, like, 10, 11, we would be reading teenage books because we had really high reading ages.
Yeah.
And we were getting bored by kids' books. And so if they had, like, things where if you weren't 12, you couldn't buy the book, we wouldn't be reading what we are today.
Yeah. I started reading Philip Pullman when I was in year 5.
Yeah.
And to be honest, anything that was mature content went completely over my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have reread books now and I'll be thinking, how did I not pick up on this?
Well, yeah, even in the Harry Potter books, which are actually children's books, there are, like, things. Like, how did I not pick up that is, like...
That means...
Yeah, that means that, and that means that. It's just like, how did I not pick up on that?
The best example I can think of this, actually, is Disney films.
Yeah.
Have you
seen the Magic Roundabout film?
No.
Oh, yes, I watched that ages ago.
Yeah. Well, we went to the cinema to watch that. I was in college when it came out, so I was like 18, 19, I think.
Yeah.
And me and my friends were absolutely killing ourselves laughing. And the little kids in the cinema, they just didn't understand what we were laughing at.
Yeah, there was something we were watching in a lesson one day. We were like, I don't know how we missed this as a child, because everyone was just, like, in tears with laughter.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, me and my mum, because my mum works as a primary school, like, teaching assistant.
Yeah.
And whenever they have rainy days, they put a DVD on for the kids to watch.
Yeah.
And so my mum buys all these DVDs, and we have to watch them first to check they're okay. And we were watching this film called Planet 51 last night, where, basically, this astronaut crash lands onto this alien planet, and all the aliens, in our terms, are going, but you're the alien, get out of our planet.
Yeah.
And there are so many cultural references. Like, there's a bit where the astronaut, like, bumps into this guy on this alien on a bike, and they fly across the sky on this bike, and it's like an exact E.T. reference, and I didn't even get it at first. My mum was like, laughing her head off, and I was like, what? And she was like, oh, it's from E.T.
Oh, I was like that watching St. Trini, and my cousin was wetting herself with laughter, because they were all like, these Italian job references and all these references for really like famous films, they're just going over me and my younger cousin's heads completely.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't pick up on stuff when you're younger.
Yeah,
it's just like all these films that my mum, like all the kids at her school, really like. Like, we love Despicable Me.
I love Despicable Me
because we get all the references they're making, and it's just like there are two levels on which films are funny.
Yeah,
it's like the kids level, like slapstick comedy, funny level. Then there's all the references that these really clever screenwriters put into the films.
It's similar with books as well. There's always, like, two levels there, I think, where if you, depending on where you're coming from, reading them, they mean different things.
Yeah.
I think where Harry Potter was really successful, because there was stuff for the adult readers and stuff for the younger readers.
Everything's back to Harry Potter.
I always do that.
Yeah, that's why, because when adults and teens like us, when we reread them, like, I listen to many Harry Potter podcasts where they reread the books and, like, analyse it. And there are all these references to the later books and everything.
Yeah. It's like, you've got, I think it's in Half-Blood Prince, and Harry's daydreaming about Ginny, and it says something like, Harry was so glad that Ron couldn't see his face or, like, read his thoughts or something. You wouldn't pick up on a child that it was, like, quite inappropriate thoughts about her. You would not pick up on that.
By that point, Harry's what, like 15?
Yeah, 15, 16.
So he's going to be thinking.
I'm having those thoughts.
Yeah.
Any 16-year-old does.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But as a younger reader, you don't pick up on it, and then
because it just, everything's so subtle.
Yeah, and I think that's, yeah, I like that about the books as well. It's appropriate for all ages.
Yeah.
There's nothing really explicit at all. There's only like one word. That's when that's when Mrs. Weasley kills Bellatrix.
Yeah. And my little sister's read all of them now.
But I'm a big fan of swearing in books anyway, so.
I think that the only reason swear words are bad is because we say they're bad. So if we stopped saying that they were bad, they wouldn't be bad.
It really annoys me in books when characters don't swear when their attitudes, their personalities, and pretty much their ages. Cause we all know teenagers swear.
Yeah.
And they don't, and it's like, it puts me off the time.
What teenager doesn't know those words?
Exactly. Yeah. And like you say, they're only bad words because we put, like, opinions onto those words. But I think the Rachel Hawkins, I've forgot the name of the book, X Hall, possibly, I think.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, I read the first one, and the main character's really, like, she's really bolshy, and she's got, like, a really bad attitude and stuff, and there's a point in it where she actually, like, is, as the narrator, she says something, and then says, as the narrator, but I didn't say that, I said something worse. And I was just like, well, you obviously swore, and that just really threw me out of the book.
Yeah. I think if a character's going to swear, you should just put it in.
Yeah.
because you're going to be going for that target audience anyway.
Yeah.
If it's a teenage book, then you're going to be going towards teens who know these words.
Exactly. But I know, like I said, my stepson's 12, and he obviously swears. I know he swears when he's with his friends, but he wouldn't dare in front of us. And that's where the difference lies. It's like, and you know when and where those words are appropriate.
Yeah.
Because it's just that when teachers, like, because you'll hear words at school and you'll know they're, when teachers say that they're really bad, sometimes it makes the kids want to say them more.
Yeah.
Like being told not to do something.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
I think that's also, with the classifications in books, that's where the problem lies as well. Like, if you classify books as, like, a 15, so Hunger Games would probably be a 15.
Yeah.
And I think anyone under 15 would just be like, they'd just try and get hold of it anyway, and
yeah.
Who's going to police it?
That story about the girl who goes to the Catholic school, and they had a whole list of bad books. And so she got a copy of all the bad books and just ran in the library, asked for a locker.
Yeah, that's quite...
Just getting these classmates to interested in reading. <read. laughs>
That's brilliant.
That's quite cool.
Yeah.
But,
it's an entrepreneur.
Banning books is bigger in America than it is over here.
Yeah.
And Laura and Kate at that event last week was actually talking about it, and she said that her books haven't been banned, but they probably would have been if the people who banned the books read the books.
Yeah.
And she said they don't actually read the books. They've banned Harry Potter in some states.
Yeah,
because it goes against, like, religions.
Yeah, it goes against all the religion and stuff, and they've banned it, but the people who banned it haven't actually read it.
That's just stupid.
They just know vaguely what they think it's about.
Yeah. And Philip Pullman's banned in a lot of states as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I think, it's just ridiculous. It's like, you read books at school, if there's a classification on it, would you be told you're not allowed to read that book at school if you, like, bring in your own reading book?
Yeah, I think you would. I think they'd have to.
Would that also mean that if you wanted to get a book out of the library, you wouldn't be able to?
Well, Hunger Games, you can't get it out unless you're in Year 9 our school.
Yeah, in our school library, they have a warning. Like, you have to be Year 9 above, or I think you have to get a teacher's written consent.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I know, but it's because apparently the school deemed it
inappropriate for young council. Years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we do a lot.
Like, that's the thing. How would this be policed? I mean, it would, like, children don't necessarily carry around ID.
No.
It also, a lot of books, kids my age, parents buy it for them.
Yeah.
Like, Christmas, I'll get tons of books bought for me. Like, I'll say, Mum, I want these books, and she'll go and buy them for me.
Yeah.
It won't be me going around buying them, necessarily.
Yeah.
But if I wanted to get, like, a book like Game of Thrones, I wouldn't be able to buy it because it would be an 18 as a classification.
Yeah.
And I would just be told I wouldn't be allowed to buy anything like that.
I think it'd be very hard to actually carry out if books did have classification. I think it'd be very difficult for the law to stand.
Yeah.
Because... Well, yeah, like, how would they get that to work?
But it would put such a restriction on, like, schools and everything. We're not even allowed to watch a film.
We're not allowed to watch 15s until everyone in our year is 15.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the same when I was at school, and, Lewis said the other day that he's watching The Woman in Black in English.
Yeah.
Like, it's a 12, and he's only in year 7. So not everyone is 12.
Some teachers have put on a 15 for, like, our class.
Yeah.
Because we're only a couple of years away, and they said there's nothing actually too bad in it, and we had to do an assessment on it.
Yeah, Miss Chubbuck, she showed us...
The others.
Well, no, Macbeth.
Oh,
and
yeah.
One of the versions of Macbeth, and it was the one where, I've forgotten the name of the director now, with all the gory details, like you see all the deaths. But because it was a 15, she had to just fast-forward over all the murders.
I think they did that in my school as well. I think when I was in year 9, we watched that and they just skipped through all the really gory bits.
Yeah.
But then you can go home and go on YouTube and just watch those bits.
Yeah, and I think it's just really stupid that you're not allowed to do it at school. But I suppose they worry that if children went home and told their parents would, like, just kick up a massive fuss about it. You do have some parents that are really strict about this kind of thing. I just think that having a classification on books would just hinder a lot of people's reading experience.
If Hunger Games was a 15, then...
we wouldn't be allowed to read it.
Our whole year wouldn't be allowed to read it. None of the kids. Because the whole point of making the film a 12A was so that everybody could watch it.
Yeah.
And then they took out some really brilliant bits that...
I know.
Yeah. A lot of people wanted it to be a 15.
I wanted it to be a 15.
And I could get in if I went
Yeah, to be fair, I can get into a 15 quite easily.
People would think that I was 15.
So I'm like, I'll be
You're
fine.
Tall.
I'm tall, like, I can get in.
You're like a giant.
Just like, I'll be fine. It's just like, I worry about some of my other friends who look about 13. I know, it's
My brother-in-law's the same age as you girls. He's in year 9 and he goes and sees 15s all the time. He's not 15 yet.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you hear about, when I went to see What to Expect When You're Expecting at the cinema, me and my friend Emily, we saw this girl in our year.
Oh, yeah.
We saw her go in to see a 15, and we were wondering, did they know that... she was going with friends, she wasn't even going with an adult or anything.
Yeah.
So it just shows that they don't really police these things, really. Yeah. Unless you look...
it's not underage drinking or whatever.
Yeah, but if they're going to police classifications on, they're not really doing anything to stop people going in, are they?
No. But I just think it would be a stupid idea to put a classification on it. It's
just yeah.
Pointless.
Yeah. Okay, do you want to move on to topic? And if so. Anyone talked about?
Oh, description.
Yeah. So we had another thought we could talk about how much description do we really need in books? Like, we don't want too much, because that would completely not... we wouldn't be able to think of anything for ourselves.
Yeah.
But if you have too little, there is no way of thinking how the characters are.
The best book I think I've ever read that does description is Scorpio.
Yeah, that's actually really good.
It is, and all the description ties in with the actual storyline.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
I don't...
that's one of the things you need to do, is tie everything together.
Yeah.
Every word should be essential.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I talk to a lot of authors, and I've actually discussed this with some of them, and like, one I've mentioned a couple of times this podcast, Kara Stain, she's really not a fan of descriptions of her characters.
Yeah.
And she says it's because every time she tries, it doesn't fit in with the writing, so she doesn't bother.
Yeah.
And I think I have read stuff that, like, it pops it out there that the character looks this way and he's like that. And it does sometimes feel really forced.
I know.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Once you read, then you can imagine the character in your head, and why shouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like, what the author intends.
Yeah.
So I was reading Switched for English a couple of weeks
Amanda
ago.
By Amanda Hocking.
Yeah, and it's just like, I felt like the author just felt like she needed to put a description of the main character and her brother, because it was really... it's
oppressive.
Yeah, and it's just like, it didn't fit in at all. It was just... no, that annoyed me.
We've given examples of two books which were really sometimes too much and sometimes too little description, which is Twilight and Game of Thrones.
Because what I found with Game of Thrones is you got a lot of, it depends where you were. Sometimes you got a lot of description about the settings and the characters. Other times you got very, very little, which just annoyed me at times.
And in Twilight, you get a lot of description about the Cullens and how amazing they are.
And then you get no description about anything else. It's just like,
you don't know what Bella looks like.
Maya attempts to neglect the characters who aren't the forming characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just found it really annoying. You don't pick up on it as much when you're like reading it as a young person. I was in year 6, year 7 when I started reading them.
Yeah, that's not my age.
So you don't really pay attention to description when you're that age.
Which is her target audience as well, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think as you get older, you start thinking, hang on, no, you need some sort of description about the other characters and less about the Cullens.
Well, like, she has characters who just suddenly pop up.
Yeah.
Like, Lauren, I think her name is.
Yes.
Just randomly pops up. And it's just like, who the hell's Lauren?
Yeah, because you just reminded me of the Alex Day Reese Twilight. Yeah. And he was just like, oh yeah, I never noticed that before. So funny. It's just like, you've just got these random characters, you know nothing about them. And they're just like...
And they're the best characters as well.
Yeah, they're just like, suddenly there. Oh, what happened to them? They've suddenly gone. Oh no, they're back again. I just never know anything about them.
She just, like, throws them in there.
Yeah.
And she's just like, oh, yeah, and Lauren said this. And it's just like, what? Where did she come from?
Yeah, because she just suddenly, like, hates Bella, and you have no idea why she hates her at all. And there's, like, nothing to tell you or explain anything.
Which book does she appear in?
The first one.
Right.
And then...
I don't think she appears in any of the others. I haven't read them for a while.
I haven't read any of the others. I've only read the first one.
Yeah. I've only read the first one.
No, I read all of them.
I've read all of them.
Because we were probably the right age when they came out, weren't we?
Yeah.
But I've also watched all the films that are out.
That's so
bad. And the films also are very similar to the books in the way that...
The films are awful.
Well, I think personally that the films and the books... like Izzy said in the last episode, they cater to a certain audience, and unless you're that audience, you don't find them appealing.
Yeah.
She was talking about Justin Bieber at one point, how, in her words, he's very good at what he does, but only certain people like it.
Yeah.
So, do you reckon target audience does matter then, as to what?
I think for some things, some things are very specific in the way that they, like, show the characters.
Well, let's face it, Harry Potter was meant to be a children's book. I swear I know more adults or teenagers who read it than I know actual children.
Well, the children who read it when it came out are now adults, Abby.
Yeah, it came out.
Even so, it grew and grew. And
yeah.
I think
many adults read it now that
15 years ago
it came out. Adults when it came out. And
yeah.
Well, yeah, because we were both about 6 or 7 when we first read the books. And considering I was born the year that Harry Potter was created, we missed out the first years. Like, I don't know, what was released? I imagine quite a few of them were released by the time
It was only Prisoner of Azkaban and Goblet of Fire that were out at the time.
But still, that's the majority. That's all the young books. Because when you get to Order of the Phoenix, they start turning into more adult books.
Yeah, because I remember seeing...
I think once they get past Prisoner of Azkaban, I think they do turn into teen books. I think the young adult there.
Yeah.
Rather than children's. I think she started out as children's. Sorry?
I have really strong opinions about YA, though. I don't think that adults should be put off from reading YA.
No.
Oh, no. Because it's really up and
coming.
I think YA is a really up-and-coming genre that...
And I'm sure the intended sort of age group is YA, is young adults. Yeah. But I don't think that should put off. So many adults are like, oh, it's YA. I can't read that, I'm an adult. It's like,
I was reading young adult when I was a teenager. I was reading Sarah Manning and Anne Cassidy and stuff like that. And then when I got to uni, I stopped and started reading adult stuff. Because I was like, oh, well, I'm an adult now, I shouldn't be reading this anymore.
Yeah.
And then I started up again, when I started my blog, just before I started reading my blog, I started reading more young adult. And then when I was talking to my boss at work, she absolutely takes the hits out of me for reading young adult books. She will not read anything I recommend her, because it's young adult.
Yeah.
And I don't see the problem at all. I'm like, but they're really good books.
Yeah, my mum, who is she's not anywhere near teenage. And she, I don't mean that in a bad way, but do you know what I mean? She's, and when she was a teenager, there wasn't such a thing as teenage books.
Yeah.
But she reads all the books that I recommend to her now.
Yeah.
I'll go, Mum, you need to read this, and she'll go, oh yeah. And then she'll read it after she's finished the book she's reading.
But some young adult bloggers as well, like, I have a few friends who are like, well, Miss Connor, she's nearly
30. Yeah, I think so.
Then, like, a couple of other friends of mine are, like, 40. I know 40-year-olds.
Yeah.
Who are young adult bloggers.
My books, to be honest. I think there's so much easier to fall in love with.
Yeah, because adult books...
some adult books try too hard, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They're a bit pretentious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but why? And it's not all of them. I mean, there's wonderful adult books out there.
I think there's... it's a very... with adult books, that a lot of them are either pretentious or really, like, chick-lit-type books.
Oh, you see so many. Like, we were at the Works in our local city, and they had, like, a load of mix, and the majority of the adult books were all these chick lit books.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was as if, after you get past young adult, there goes a stage where it's either really historical and really in-depth and really heavy-duty, or it's really light.
Yeah.
There's no in-between, really.
There's very few in-between. There's, like, I'd say Cecilia Ahern and Jodie Picoult. David Nichols, maybe, and Nick Hornby, they're all kind of in between, but I think there's not very many of them of that sort of thing.
Yeah. I don't see anything wrong. I read quite a few books that are from my childhood when I read them about 10, but I will still pick them up and read them even now. And my stepmom reads some of them. Like, the Ingo books, me and my stepmom love them. Mm. And we still actually read them now. Like, my stepmom's rereading them at the moment. Mm. I don't think target audience actually matters that much, because I think anyone can pick them up and read them.
And she picks that at this age and up, rather than this age.
Yeah.
Well, I think to a certain... I think it depends on the book, target audience. Because Hunger Games, I know loads of different ages who read it.
Yeah.
I mean, Miss Chubbuck, our English teacher, she's got a grown-up daughter. She reads Hunger Games. A load of kids my age read Hunger Games, and yet I also know kids who are younger than me who read Hunger Games.
Yeah.
So I think books like Harry Potter and books like Hunger Games, they don't, and a lot of YA books, they're not boundaries. There aren't really any boundaries.
Yeah.
I think great about them as well.
Yeah.
I think with the target audience thing, I think that's more important for all of the booksellers rather than the readers.
Yeah.
And, like, where to put them in the shop, and obviously for people who aren't as confident maybe with going into a shop and just picking up a book, I think they would like to have their specific areas to go to.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the fact that they're putting adult covers onto YA books now?
Really annoys me.
Yeah. I do. I don't like it.
It's like the Across the Universe books.
Oh, yeah, you were saying about that.
They've recovered the last book because they did the whole series with these really nice, fluid, smooth covers. And they've now recovered them, and I heard they're not releasing the last one with the same covers. They're just doing these new covers.
Yeah.
And I don't like them at all.
They're awful. I really don't like those covers.
And it's like they're saying that adults should be ashamed to be reading.
Yeah. It's like they're saying the front of the book matters more than the blurb.
Yeah.
I thought that when they did it with Harry Potter, my mum has got the adult copies.
Yeah, the white. I think we should stop rounding up now.
Yeah.
It's been like an hour and a bit.
I think we got through all of them though.
Yeah, I think we've done pretty well.
Yeah. Alright. Okay, so I think that's it for this episode. Everyone say goodbye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll have to do this again sometime.
Yeah.
This has been really fun.
Yeah. And remember to keep an eye out for our new mini-series, just basically telling you what we're currently reading, the latest releases. Yeah, they are called the point one of the episode, whatever episode.
Points one or two or whatever.
Yeah.
If we do more than one in between, it'll be like points one and point two and point three.
Yeah. Okay.
And Lily, do you want to put a thing about your blog in?
Yeah, just go check out my blog, thewaterpenpages.blogspot.com. You guys are going to put a link in, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And look in, that's the thing, and I'll have a link. Or if you follow me on Twitter at Sierra, then there's a link in my blog.
And Rainey, do you want to do a shout out for yours as well?
Yeah, if you want to follow me at ReaderAptor, that's Reader with an A. It's readeraptor.co.uk, and I'm on Twitter as rainy_ra. Happy to be the dinosaur, which you'll obviously see. So yeah, follow me on there. There's a link on my Twitter to my blog as well. So.
Okay. Yeah. Right. I think that's all from us.
Okay. So see you sometime soon.
Yeah.